In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Advent is not about getting ready for Christmas. Advent is about getting ready for the end of the world. For the next several weeks, our lectionary will draw us into a landscape of remarkable, even unsettling visions. Advent is a season in which Scripture does not whisper, it sings, it shouts, it shakes us awake. Isaiah will take us from the high and holy mountain of Zion, which we hear about today, to that future horizon where every mountain is made low, every valley lifted up, and the rough and crooked places are finally made smooth and straight. Matthew's gospel will give us images that sound almost like the rapture, one taken, one left. And though many Episcopalians do not read those texts the way others do, we still hear their urgency. We will encounter the wild, searing voice of John the Baptist crying out from the wilderness. And then as Advent draws to its tender end, we will stand beside a young Mary who moves from confusion and fear into wonder, courage, and praise. This morning, Isaiah calls us gently but insistently to God's holy hill. He invites us to imagine a time when the household of God, then the whole human family, will indeed all of creation be drawn together. Every nation, every people, every tribe and clan, all going up to the mountain of the Lord. And there, Isaiah says, God will teach us, not simply instruct us, not give us new information, but shape us, form us, show us how to live in God's way. The dream of Torah, God's deep wisdom for how the world might truly flourish, becomes something we can finally receive, understand, and perceive. And in that time, those instruments by which we wound one another, those swords and spears, become tools that nurture life. Plowshares, pruning hooks. The metals forged for destruction are melted down and reshaped for growth. Instead of killing, we will cultivate. Instead of tearing down, we will build up. Instead of defending ourselves from our neighbors, we will tend the garden that has always existed in the imagination of God, a garden of justice, a garden of mercy, a garden of peace. Isaiah imagines a world in which we walk in the light of the Lord, a world where goodness and mercy do not merely follow us, but surround and envelop us, becoming the very atmosphere we breathe. This morning, the prophet gives us a gift. It's not a roadmap for decoding end-time predictions. It's not a puzzle to solve, nor a secret message hidden between the lines. And I would suggest that it's not even a prophecy in the sense of forecasting events. What Isaiah offers us is a dream. An image, a holy imagination of what God longs for creation to be. And if I'm honest, I would much rather live in that dream than in the nightmare of apocalyptic horror that has so captivated large swaths of contemporary American Christianity. I would rather follow a God who seeks to heal creation instead of destroy it. A God whose judgment looks like mercy and transformation, not like cosmic retribution. We have a choice about what kind of world we expect God to bring about. Do we want Isaiah's dream? A world gathered on God's mountain, learning God's ways, living in peace? Or do we prefer the bleak vision that some Christians promote, imagining that God will return with violence that mirrors our own, punishing the very world that God loves? Because here's the truth. If we believe that punishment, fear, and destruction are ultimately what God wants, then we will live our lives accordingly. We will circle the battle. We will withdraw into smaller and smaller enclaves and build walls around our churches, our communities, and our hearts. We will stop engaging the world because we will have already judged it. And we will decide, consciously or not, that most of humanity is beyond saving anyway. That worldview, I believe, is a nightmare. And it bears no resemblance to the God that we meet in Scripture, who again and again chooses mercy over wrath, compassion over retribution, redemption over ruin. God, Isaiah invites us instead into his dream, into God's dream. A dream not of judgment, but of transformation, not of violence, but of redemption. When we read Scripture as the story of our long, beautiful, complicated relationship with God, we begin to see a pattern. Again and again and again, God bends towards restoration. God desires shalom, a Hebrew word that is so much richer than mere peace. Shalom is wholeness, harmony, flourishing. A world in which nothing is broken and no one is left out. Righteousness, mercy, and goodness come together, Isaiah tells us, to form shalom. And that is the vision that Advent places before us. Advent is meant to be a liminal time, a threshold time. A liminal space is an in-between space. Who we were, we no longer are. But we have not yet become who we will be. Spiritually speaking, it's the hallway between those rooms. The dawn before full light, the womb before birth. Isaiah's dream draws us into this liminal space. He calls us to imagine, to hope, to long for something that we cannot yet see. Advent teaches us to stand in the dark with expectation, trusting that God's future will draw near, trusting that God's dream will not fail. And in that liminal space, we are shaped. Our imaginations are stretched. Our hearts are expanded. This is why Advent matters. This is why the church begins its year not with angels and carols and shepherds, but with cosmic visions of endings and beginnings intertwined. Because Advent is not about getting ready for Christmas. Advent is about getting ready for the end of the world. The end of the world as it is. So that God's world, as it should be, can finally take root. The end of the world of violence. The end of the world of fear. The end of the world of despair. No swords, no spears, only plowshares, only pruning hooks, only peace. May we walk in the light of that dream and be shaped by it.